on this weekend after Thanksgiving, there is an attitude we need to have that I want to zero in on. To introduce it, I want to bring out a prayer that I have used through the years to help me put life in perspective. It's the prayer of the unknown soldier, Confederate soldier from the Civil War. The prayer, rather short, it goes like this. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. What about us? What about us? Do we realize how blessed we are? Again, if you travel outside of the country, you know. You know the physical blessings we have in this nation. But I want to personalize it, that question for us today. Am I blessed? Am I blessed? The Apostle James says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Have I received good gifts from above? Have I received perfect gifts from above? Am I blessed? Today we want to look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, written by David, it shows some of the good and perfect gifts from above. It shows how truly blessed we are, and why the attitude of gratitude should be continually in our hearts. Psalm 103. This psalm is attributed to David, written most likely in his later years, when he had a greater appreciation for God's good gifts and perfect gifts than he did in his younger days. Also, there is an awareness of his frailty. As I listen to Mr. Carey talking about the prayer request, and even with Mr. Harris, as we go back many a year with Mr. Harris as well, and I probably will, if he's still in hospital, maybe even make a trip over to see him. But we're frail as we grow older. And it is interesting, in this psalm, there are no requests made by David in the entire psalm. There are no psalms of the imprecatory nature in which he is asking God to wipe out his enemies. Wipe them out, God. He doesn't ask for healing, as he does in several of them. There are no requests to give me this or that or the other. Apparently, God had already answered his previous prayers, showering him with many blessings and causing him to be deeply grateful that he himself could say, I, among all men, am most richly blessed. And so to proceed through this, verse 1 of Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The word bless comes from the Hebrew word, which I know a lot of people in this country would not appreciate. That's their problem. The Hebrew word is Barak. It is Barak. It is the name of our United States president. Now, long before he was given that name, this word was in Hebrew. The word, when you look at it in the Greek eulogia, it means good word. Good word. Praise. As David starts off, bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good word. that need to go up to our Father in heaven. And David next, his next expression, oh my soul, oh my soul. We find soul music 3,000 years before James Brown popularized it. For it is truly the music of the soul. And that is corroborated by the last part. He says, all that is within me, the viscera, down to the core of my being, I need now to elevate, cause to rise up, good words, praise to God. He reiterates this, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We need to continually praise and thank God, not just one day in the year. And this is the problem. We don't really do it one day in the year as a nation. But as one person said, Thanksgiving was never meant to be shut up in a single day. It's not. The reason why we do not thank God as we should is because we are a forgetful people. The name Manasseh means just that, forgetful. We do not think about what we have. We don't. And you just look at us even yesterday. It's one of the reasons I go out of the country. You look at us yesterday and how you would think that we don't have anything. It's interesting, the word thank and think come from the same root. So when you think, you think. When you think, do I think? Do I think? There is an expression, out of sight, out of mind. Does that apply to me? If that's the case, there is no reason to think. Hold it here in Psalm 83 and go back to a familiar passage of Scripture we generally read at this time of the year, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, children of Israel on the verge of entering the promised land. Moses decides to recount certain instructions, laws to them, and gives them certain encouragements, bits of encouragement, because he is not allowed to enter the promised land. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse 7, Moses says, Deuteronomy 8, verse 7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines, fig trees, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, a land which he has given you, as he brings it out, when you have eaten and you are full, you shall barak, bless your God by not keeping, or your God, for the good land which he has given you. Thanksgiving is over. We ate and we are full. It doesn't stop on Thursday, the fourth Thursday in November. He says, when you have eaten and you are full, go out on Black Friday and shop till you drop. He says, bless the Lord. Good word to the Lord your God for this land which he has given you. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and you're full and have built beautiful houses and dwelt in them. And I've seen the construction on the eastern shore coming down today. Beautiful houses. When your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Big problem we have. We don't think about God. we are in the process of dismissing God and his law. So what is there to think? Who is there to think? In this country, unfortunately, we can thank ourselves. And I wonder, even a tradition that has been a part of our very fiber, just to say, as they would term it, grace, how many of them did it Thursday? Because they want to get to a football game. What about what has been given to us? You look at the children of Israel, you see a people who had a bad memory. They had a damaged mind. They were an ungrateful people. They, of all people, were blessed by God. Look at them coming out of Egypt. Look at the hand of God as he now was upon them all the way to the promised land with the plagues, parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire and the cloud of smoke, water coming out of the rock, manna coming down every day except for the seventh. They forgot. Transpose or superimpose their lives over our own. Can I see the hand of God from before my Red Sea baptism up until now? Can I look upon the hand of God in my life? And I don't mean physically, because that's where our minds have a tendency to go. There is a lot to be physically thankful for. Even as we sang the song years ago, Count Your Many Blessings, Johnson Oakman, when upon life's billows your tempest falls, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If I count my blessings, what do I count? Where is my focus? You know, I come up from Florida, leaving 80 degrees, and I get on the plane, and they say it's 32 up in Baltimore. I know what's about to happen, because I get up to the colder climb. I brought thermal underwear and big old skull caps. And, hey, I'm almost 8 years removed from being up here. So, and I know I'm going to be up late at night, and I don't stay up late at night. I got to go to bed early. And so it was this morning as I'm in bed, and I can hear my heart, and it is beating. And I decided to go ahead, let me just find out, well, what is the rate my heart is beating? And it is 15 beats more than what it normally is. And the first thing I know, by the time I make it back to Florida, I'm going to be sick. I know that. And then I had to stop. Wait a minute. But the heart is beating. Isn't it? You're concerned about now it beating 15 beats more than it normally is? It's beating. We are aging. As I talked to Alonzo Tull before, ever since he came down to the shore, this man has had one issue after another. Ever since I've known the man. And I was thinking, you know, he is... physically, he is falling apart. I'm young. I hear the term diverticulitis. Got it. I have serious problems with my eyes that we've been dealing with now for the longest time. Glaucoma, cataract, retina issue. I had a retina bubble, a bubble on my retina several years ago, which the doctor wanted to operate. He says, well, give it time, and then all of a sudden, when I went back, he says, the retina God has been favorable to you because the bubble's gone. I could think about, well, hey, I got my retina gone. The man made a comment, the retina God. The retina God. Because he knew I was a minister. Took it away from you. We are aging. But then as we age, it should cause us to focus not just on physical, because we don't do what we used to. We put together a softball team from the shore going over to Washington, D.C. They didn't think a ragtime team could beat anybody. We would travel from here on the some all the way down to Accomack, going all the way to Cumberland for a track meet for YOU. And you think about, boy, I just think about all the driving. But physically we start falling apart. So the focus cannot necessarily just be physical. The reason I am up here, family. Family. Is that a reason for Thanksgiving? Even as families come together, is that a reason for Thanksgiving? Now, David is going in a different direction, as we'll get to. But let me just digress here just for a bit. Some of you recall Charles Perrault, the late Charles Perrault for CBS News. He was famous for his little blurbs of traveling around the country on the road, and they would come on. He put together those experiences in a book, bought the book many years ago and read it. There's one that always stood out to me. It's entitled Coming Home. Coming Home. And I was going to just summarize it or just read excerpts of it. I'm going to just read the account. Hang on as I go through this. It says, it's entitled Coming Home. A long road took 9 children out of the cotton fields, out of poverty, out of Mississippi, but roads go both ways, and this Thanksgiving weekend they all return. This is about Thanksgiving and coming home. One after another, and from every corner of America, the cars turned into the yard. With much cheering and much hugging, the 9 children of Alex and Mary Chandler were coming home for their parents' 50th wedding anniversary, as well as Thanksgiving. Gloria Chandler says, "There's my daddy," as Gloria rushes to hug him. Gloria Chandler Coleman, Masters of Art, or a Master of Arts, University of Missouri, a teacher in Kansas City, was home. All 9 children had memories of sharecropper's cabin and nothing to wear and nothing to eat. All 9 are college graduates. I interrupt, you know, because I think back to just growing up in the South. That was not a possibility for a number of those in the South. I think about my grandparents who migrated to this country from Bahamas. They didn't finish school, but it's interesting to look at their children. My mother graduated from business college. I've got another aunt who graduated from Tuskegee Institute. And then I look at my own children. And now as I consider this, you know, as I look at this particular weekend, and I realize that the sacrifices that we have made have not been in vain, because we can launch these children into the future and know that they can succeed with the help of God. I this is why I am drawn to this particular story, because to me it's like coming home, cooking the meal in the kitchen of the new house the children built for their parents 4 years ago is Bessie Chandler Beasley, B.A., Tuskegee, M.A., Central Michigan, dietitian at the Veterans Hospital, married to a Ph.D., and helping out Princess Chandler Norman, M.A., Indiana University, a school teacher in Gary, Indiana. You meet them all. But first, I thought you might meet their parents. Alex Chandler remembers the time when he had a horse and a cow and tried to buy a mule and couldn't make the payment and lost the mule and the horse and the cow. I'm sorry. I look at our kids on these university campuses going crazy, and I just think about what our parents, some of you, have had to go through. just for your children. And that's what we're dealing with here in this particular story. And about that time, Cleveland, the first son, decided he wanted to go to college. Alex Chandler, we didn't have any money, and we went to town. He wanted to catch the bus to go on up there. And so we went to town and borrowed $2.50 from her niece and bought him a bus ticket. And when he got there, that's all he had, $2.50, as it is recorded here. From that beginning, he became Dr. Cleveland Chandler. He is chairman of the economics department at Howard University. How did they do it? Starting on one of the poorest farms in the poorest part of the poorest state in America. Princess Chandler Norman says, we worked. Carolt, you picked cotton? Norman, yes, picked cotton, pulled corn, stripped millet, dug potatoes. They all left. Luther at the University of Omaha, and went on to become the public service employment manager for Kansas City. He helped his younger brother, James, come to Omaha University, too, and go on to graduate at Yale. And in his turn, James helped Herman, who graduated from Morgan State and is a technical manager in Dallas. And they helped themselves. Forston, a Baptist minister in Pueblo, Colorado, wanted to go to Morehouse. Forster Chandler, I chose Morehouse, and it was difficult. I had to pick cotton all summer long to get the first month's rent and tuition. So helping themselves, helping one another, they all went away, and now 50 years after, life began for the Chandler family. In a one-room shack, in a cotton field. Now, just as they were sitting down in the new house, to turkey and sweet potatoes and cornbread and collard greens and two kinds of pies, three kinds of cake. Now Donald arrives, the youngest, who had driven with his family all the way down from Minneapolis. Now the Chandlers were all together again. Alex Chandler saying, Grace, our Father in heaven, we come at this moment giving thee thanks, for thou hast been so good and so kind. We want to thank you, O God, for this, for your love, for your son. Thank you that you have provided for all of us through all these years. Before finishing, is not much longer than this. You know, as I was talking with my son yesterday about what his plans are, because he is aware of the needs we have in the church. He is a minister, and he is aware. He works for Intel. He got a PhD from MIT, and he knows what it would take in order for him to go if he desires, and that's in the back of his mind, go full-time in the ministry. That's not an easy decision. He knows where we are financially. He knows that he is going to be taking a significant cut financially. But then I thought about this. Wait a minute. We were able to raise them. They both went to college. They graduated from college, primarily on my salary and what my wife was able to do part-time. And they made it. There is an element that is missing here. It's called faith. And that is the thing that has to be inside of us as we now negotiate through the shores of this life. Faith. Faith. Remembering all those years of sharecropping and going hungry, and working for a white man for 50 cents a day and worrying about his children's future. Remembering all of that, Alex Chandler almost didn't get through this blessing. As he says in Jesus' name, amen, and neither did the others as the family are wiping away the tears. The Chandler family started with as near nothing as any family in America ever did, and so their Thanksgiving weekend might have been more thankful than most. And at the end of Carole's presentation, they're singing, "I'll Fly Away." Old spiritual of the past, "I'll Fly Away" in the name of an old hymn. It is Mr. Chandler's favorite. His 9 children flew away, made places for themselves in this country, and this weekend they came home again. There probably are no lessons in any of this, but I know that in the future, whenever I hear that the family is a dying institution, I'll think of them. Whenever I hear anything in America is impossible, I'll think of them. That's what we need to do. As we come home on a Thanksgiving, to realize family. And it was my decision that I needed to go over to what I considered one of my first spiritual families here on the Eastern Shore. Because we were up in Laurel. I mean, we are isolated. I still remember when Dean Blackwell came here one weekend, and he just thought, well, how in the world is there people over here? He's thinking from Boston all the way down to Virginia, and in this isolated, this Delmarva Peninsula, he's looking at soy crop and corn. He doesn't see anything here. But family, that's what we were, family. And it is a cause for thanksgiving, family. Going then further, in Psalm 103, we come and transition to David's focus. Verse 3 of Psalm 103 to 5. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's? Specific blessings David brings out here. They're not material. They're not materially oriented. Look at them and ask, am I blessed? Am I blessed? The first thing he says in verse 3, forgiveness. Forgiveness. He begins with forgiveness, which should encourage us to do the same. Look at it. Am I blessed? Forgiveness must be experienced in order to enjoy the other blessings that are to follow. Again, hold it here. Go back to Psalm 32. Psalm chapter 32. Another psalm of David, Psalm 32. It is a psalm of repentance by David. Psalm 32, beginning with verse 1. As David says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. That the sin, it is hovering. Sin that I have not repented of. Thankfully we serve a God who looks at the heart. He knows there are times when we have committed sins we haven't repented of, but he looks at the heart. How awesome is that? Am I blessed? Am I blessed? Of all people, the God that we serve, he even allows, as verse 4, the day and night, your hand heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Stop, pause, Selah. Think of this. So I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. beautiful word in the Old Testament, mercy. The Hebrew word chesed, one of the premier Hebrew words of the Old Testament, steadfast love, steadfast loyalty. There is one being we can always count on, and it ain't physical. It's God. It's God. No matter what we go through, He is there. He has chosen us. And He knows how frail we are and how prone we are to walk down a path of sin. He knows that. And He stands ready to forgive. We as parents get a glimpse of that, even with our own children. We know that they might do things that are wrong, but like the prodigal son, the father has open arms, and he is waiting. Am I blessed? Am I blessed? I'm not going into details of these points that David brings out, but I just want to highlight those. The second one he brings out in verse 3 of Psalm 103, healing. Healing. And there's more to healing than physical. Christ healed hundreds, thousands, but it was a means to an end. And that end was character. That end was the kingdom of God. Not just in body that would be healed, but in mind and in emotion and in spirit. God gives peace and serenity to all. We are at war in this world. We are at war in this nation. Even in the family unit, there is war. God is the one who heals. God is the one who gives peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Dealing with Chicago for 8 years, and you know, Chicago has a bad rep, and it is merited. It's a rough place. There are places in Chicago having to be responsible for. Yes, I was fearful of going into high rises like Robert Taylor Holmes. At 1:30 in the morning, a mother calls. She wants me to come and anoint her son who was sick. 1:30 in the morning, I'm going there in this high rise. In this particular, they're out in the street. 1:30 in the morning, what are you doing? But going up there, yeah, there is fear. But you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts you. He heals. He heals. Am I blessed? The third one in verse 4, redemption. Redemption from what? From destruction, from death, from the grave. This is speaking futuristically in the present. We have been redeemed from the grave because God calls those things which are not as though they are. We have that hope. We do. That's what we carry to our graves. One of the first people to be baptized on the East Coast was the mother of these two ladies here on the front row, Betty Rutter, back in the 50s. They've grown up in church for life. And I appreciated the steadfastness of that lady. I came back for a funeral. About 50 years in the church. And the minister, I think, who is still here, preacher in heaven. I'm thinking, what is this? You for 50 years believe in a resurrection from the dead. And if people now are so thinking about going to heaven, why do they try to prolong life? Why is it now that I'm going to take this medicine or that medicine? If heaven is such a beautiful place, I want to get there now. But no, that's not what the Bible says. There is a redemption from the grave. We call it the resurrection. That is given to us by God. Am I blessed? I have that hope. Am I blessed? He continues in verse 4. You receive a crown. A crown. Go to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. Verses 4 to 5. Psalm 8, verses 4 to 5. As it says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Mr. David Johnson is going through this in FI classes in Hebrews. Class 3, he dealt with this. Jesus Christ has been crowned with glory and honor as an example for us. We have been crowned. This is God looking down on us, and he sees us in glory and honor. He doesn't see us in sin. He looks at us through the sacrifice of his son, and he sees us in glory and honor. Am I blessed? Am I blessed? As even Paul brought out, you know, I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed. We age. We come closer and closer to the end of this physical journey. It's happening. None of us will escape it. None. And as I have a tendency to go through funerals and I focus on Psalm 90, how God does not look at time the same way we do. And as it says, teach us to number our days. Clock just ticks down on all of us. All of us. It ticks down until 3, 2, 1. It happens. It happens. We're staying with our daughter in Woodstock, Maryland. One of her best friends right across the street just died this past Monday. And it has been very difficult. Very difficult even with this weekend. How many? How many? I was talking to an individual Thanksgiving, and we were discussing Baltimore because that's where we started. And how many no longer are alive? How many? God, though, is going to redeem us from the grave and crown us. Am I blessed? Verse 5, satisfaction. Satisfaction, not just physically, but spiritually. He does it now and in the future. One of my favorite scriptures for the kingdom, even the Feast of Tabernacles, is back in Psalm 16, another one of David, at the last two verses of the psalm, verses 10 and 11 of Psalm 16, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is God. I come into his presence. There is fullness of joy, pleasures forevermore. Am I blessed? I can complain about not having this, that, and the other, but if I'm in the presence of God, fullness of joy. Am I blessed? And the last characteristic David mentions back in Psalm 103, verse 5, is renewal. Renewal. I kind of tie in with this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, or chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, where Paul says, don't lose heart. The outward man, it's perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. Day by day. We receive the strength. We are renewed day by day, like the eagle that is soaring up in the sky. am I blessed. Even as we do grow old, and folks, we are. Right? It is happening. We lose some of that youthfulness, that vitality. We don't have it. You know, I used to think about running all the time, all around. Salisbury, Dover, I'm just running. I mean, I've got winded from the parking lot to get here. You lose it. Unfortunately, I'm getting a bit intense. Let me interject. My only source of humor in the sermon here, I always had at least 3 jokes in the sermon in the past, but just bring out this one, and I'm sure most of you have heard it because you live it. You know you're growing older. You know you're growing older when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You know it. You know you're growing older when you need glasses to find your glasses. Where are they? Somewhere. You know you're growing older when you sit in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. That's a bad one. Or your knees buckle but your belt won't. I identify. I will not buy a larger belt. It is simpler. Go up to the next notch. Nuh-uh. I want to keep the small one. I still got my renewed youth, right? No. You have too much room in the house and not enough in the medicine chest. You need a fire permit to light all of your birthday candles, and you need oxygen after blowing them out. You order Geritol on the rocks. That's a good drink. You stop to think and sometimes forget to start again. I'm getting there. You know, we get there. A fortune teller wants to read your face. You're getting old. You finally get it all together but can't remember where you put it. You pray for a good prune juice harvest. Oh, you're getting old. That little gray-haired lady you help across the street now is your wife. This is one I know we identify. You bend down to pick something up, and your mind says, is there anything else I should do while I'm down here? Because I ain't going down again. In the morning, you hear snap, crackle, and pop, and it isn't your breakfast cereal. The younger ones don't even know about snap, crackle, and pop with the Rice Krispies. You give your grandkids a quarter for ice cream cone, and they look at you funny. Because you're looking, hey, I want some change. I gave you a 25 cents. You go get you some ice cream. Get your double scoop for 25 cents. There is a disconnect in generation. Your grandchildren study things in history that you studied in current events. You know, we talk to ours and ask them about certain things. They have not even a clue. They don't have a clue. Even music, they don't have a clue about what we have dealt with in the past. You get out of the shower and glad the mirror is off all time. You notice that your high school classmates look older than dirt. And my favorite, you sink your teeth into a thick steak and they stay there. Who wants to grow old? All the remedies, all the prescriptions, fountains of youth will fail from keeping this house from falling apart. There is only one fountain of youth, and it is God's Spirit, and it is in you. It is in you. It is the elixir of life, and it is renewed day by day. Am I blessed? What does David say? Forgiveness. Am I blessed? Healing. Am I blessed? Redemption. A crown. Satisfaction. Renewal. Am I blessed? Just to zip through the rest of the chapter, again, as I said, it's just kind of an overview. David continues in verse 6 of Psalm 103. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. In verse 10, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Wow. That's one to always keep, not only in mind, but in heart. He does not deal with us according to our sins, because he's placed them on Jesus Christ. A few quotes, a couple of quotes tying in with this. If you can't be content with what you have received, be thankful for what you have escaped. We're here. You've got people who are struggling just to survive, be it Africa, be it Asia, and especially be it the Middle East. They are trying to survive. It is just mind-boggling, and I can understand. I know what even God told Israel. I was going through even Josiah, when Josiah made sure that the borders of Judah were going to be protected so that no false gods would come into Judah. He made sure that the boundaries were protected. But here we are quibbling over letting people in or not letting them in because of our concern about some might slip in that should not get in. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. And I'm not saying we shouldn't vet. But look at where we are. Look at where we are as a people here on this earth. Here are people who have escaped sure death. And we are fighting each other to break open the doors of a store yesterday. Am I blessed? Am I blessed? I won't even bother with the other quotes. We are forgiven. And even as it says again, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. He has not rewarded us according to our, punished us according to our iniquities. Let me just finish this. Verse 11, he says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." God remembers what we as human beings have a tendency to forget. He remembers how frail we are. He remembers how fragile we are. All of us. All of us have been touched with death. All of us have been touched with this aging process. All of us. We are fragile. God deals with us accordingly, with tender, loving care. He could crush us if he wants, but he doesn't. It's because of his love that we're even here. God forgets what we as humans have a tendency to remember. We remember sins, especially sins that others have committed against us. We have long memories, be it in marriage, be it even in the church. We have long memories. God removes sin as far as the east is from the west. His thoughts are higher than ours. His mind is higher than ours. He remembers what we forget. He forgets what we remember. How awesome our God is. Verse 15, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. Grass lives, it grows, it moans, it dries up, it blows away." That is the history of mankind. Often in this chapter, David is just bringing up how frail and fragile we are. And we are. He understands that. Verse 17, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." This is the fourth time in this chapter he brings out this Hebrew word, chesed. as he says mercy. The steadfast loyalty of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. How vast the contrast between the frailty of man, the eternity of God. How vast. He says, that's what I want you to have. That's what I want you. I've given you this temporary life. And it's not going to last that long. Just keep me in the forefront of your mind and your life. And it's yours. It's yours. Are we blessed? And then at the end of verse 17, he even talks about our children will be blessed because of the mercy of God. Yes, we as parents, we can talk, we can instruct, we can encourage, we can cajole, we can rebuke. But when they are adults, all we can do is appeal to the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And his mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Verse 18, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. His throne is fixed. It is established. It is immovable. There is nothing we as human beings can do to upset the plan of God. It will be accomplished. Am I knowledgeable? If I am I blessed? Because of that, David concludes, verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion, this awesome God. This one that David starts this whole psalm off saying good words to, who is ruling over all this vast creation. He concludes, let those angels who have been created, let all of creation then raise this voice up to this one that we have been called to serve and bless the Lord. What a sound that would be like to hear as David builds this to the crescendo. Of those who understand how truly blessed we are. What a sound that will resonate up to heaven that God would hear of a people who are truly blessed. What is it like? Go back to Revelation 5. Revelation chapter 5. The angels that are in heaven now. And this is something God hears constantly, and he never tires of hearing it. We can go to him. We can ask needs. We can ask healings physically. We can ask for all the protection we must have. But can I bless God? Can I bless him? Revelation chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. Then I looked. And I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, every creature on the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, all of them I heard saying, blessing, first word, blessing, honor, glory, power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. The four living creatures said, amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They would then join in forces, blessing. Over to chapter 7, verses 11 and 12 of Revelation. Revelation 7, 11 and 12. And the angels stood among the throne, and the elders, the four living creatures, They fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing, good word, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And that's how David concludes that psalm. Bless the Lord. With every fiber of my being, bless the Lord. Surely, we, as a people who have been even more so understanding what all God is doing, more so blessed than David, how can we do anything less? Understanding how blessed we truly are, how can we do anything less? That as David says at the beginning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Do we realize how blessed we are? Let me conclude with a revision of the prayer I started with, the prayer of the unknown Confederate soldier. I'll edit it slightly. I ask God for strength that I might achieve. I was given forgiveness. Therefore, I am truly blessed. I ask for health that I might do greater things. I was given healing. Therefore, I am truly blessed. I ask for riches that I might be happy. I was given redemption. Therefore, I am truly blessed. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given a crown of eternal life. Therefore, I am truly blessed. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given satisfaction and renewal. Therefore, I am truly blessed. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I hoped for, almost despite myself. I have had my unspoken prayers answered because I, among all men, am most truly blessed. Let us open our eyes and think. Let us open our hearts and think, because we are the most blessed people on the face of this earth, not because we live in the United States of America, but because we are the children of God. We're the children of God. Therefore, thank God. Thank God with every fiber of our being. Thanks be to you, O God, because we, among all of earth, are most truly blessed.